Mr. Ed Scott. That's what most people do.
I'm sorry, I'll do better next time.
Do. If you got your Bible with you tonight, if you'll turn over to Philippians chapter 3, we'll look at two verses, we'll look at 13 and 14. Now, I've had several people to ask me today. As a matter of fact, Debbie and I, when we left here today, we went down to hospice. We went down to hospice, short-term stay down in Chattanooga. We've got a dear, dear friend, and please pray for him, pray for his family. If God don't intervene, he'll probably just be here for another, maybe a day, maybe not that long. He's kind of comatose at this point, very shallow breathing, but I was talking to his wife, and they used to go to our church, and she asked me about what I was going to preach about tonight, and I've had a few folks ask me here tonight. I'm going to tell y'all the same thing I told her. I'm going to preach about one thing. And she kept waiting for me to tell her what that one thing was. But that's it. I'm going to preach about one thing. That's it. Now, it shouldn't take me long to preach about one thing, but I think y'all have figured me out pretty quick. It may or may not happen that way. I'll be as brief as God will allow me to. I've also been thinking about something else, and it has to do, I'm going to say this before we even get into the message, it has nothing to do with the message. It has something to do with the testimony that was given at the end of the service this morning from Sister Donna. I've known Donna and Mark since those girls were in diapers. I wish they were here so I could embarrass them real good, but I've known them since those girls were in diapers. I've known Mark and Donna, and what you see today is what you would see 30 years ago. They're solid. They're solid. And my wife and I were talking about Donna on the way down to the, I guess you'd call it a nursing home. And Donna was searching for her calling. And Donna, you probably don't realize this, but anyone that's ever known you and Mark very long at all, we know what y'all's calling is. It's touching those children. As long as I've known Mark and Donna, they have had children in their lives. Children that needed someone to love them. Way beyond their two girls. Children that were in bad, bad situations, and they needed to see the love of Jesus Christ. And y'all showed it to them. So you may not understand what your calling is, but I think everybody else in the world does. So, yeah, some people just never learn, brother. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that to you guys. And yes. Yes. To those two right there. It's kind of like my story, Donna. God and I argued for about 3 months. Could you imagine arguing with God? You know, I mean, how crazy is that? When God called me to preach, I argued with him for about 3 months. And I finally said that God had called me to preach. And everybody I said that to said, well, what took you so long? So maybe sometimes, Donna, that we just go about doing the Lord's business, and we don't realize it, you know? So I think that may be where you are. You guys are so special to those children, you know? So it has nothing to do with this message. But of course, Brother Melvin back there asked me what I was going to preach about, and I said, I'm going to preach about one thing. And he said, well, I thought you was going to say something like I'm going to preach about 15 minutes. what I like about brother back there. That's the reason I like sitting beside him. He's got one of those personalities and one of those wits about him that just absolutely sneaks up on you sometimes. Yes. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. One thing. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. One thing. The Apostle Paul penned these words as God had led him through the power of the Holy Spirit. It pressed upon his mind, it pressed upon his hand to write these words. The Apostle Paul said, "Brethren," now I want to start out right there by saying that when he started out by saying brethren, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the church, because he wouldn't call the lost brethren. So it's just like he's talking to you and I tonight. If the Apostle Paul was standing here reading this, he's telling us. He's got something for us tonight. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this book that we love so much. We thank you, Lord, because we know it is your word. We thank you, Lord, because we know it's truth. We live in a day and time where the word truth has been twisted till it don't mean truth anymore. But we know, Lord, that your word is truth, and we thank you for that. It's a solid rock, and we know it never changes. It's the truth. And as we look at your word tonight, I pray, Lord, that we'd see exactly what you'd have us to see. I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to grow in Christ because of being here tonight. We again pray for our pastor. We pray, Lord, that you continue to be with him, continue to give him the words that he needs to have. And we pray, Lord, that you'd just prepare the way for him. We pray, Lord, that you'd just prepare our hearts. We pray, Lord, you keep him safe, keep his family safe. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do, because we prayed it. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. The Apostle Paul says that he's going to do this one thing. And he is focused on this one thing. You know, there's not a whole lot of people, well, I guess there's several, but not a lot of people in my world that can do more than one thing at a time and do it right. As a matter of fact, I think you ladies actually do more than one task at a time better than us guys do. It's a proven fact that you ladies use both sides of your brain to think, and us guys only use one side. Now, ladies, before y'all get too all puffed up, I figured that out. Us guys are saving the other side in case we wear that side out. If you girls wear yours out, it's over with. But there's not a whole lot of people that can multitask, I guess you could say. I happened to think, while I was giving this a thought, down where I used to pastor down there at Middle Cross, down on North Cross Road down there, when we first went there, we had a precious little lady that played the piano, but she got to the point where arthritis got in her fingers so bad she couldn't play anymore, she had to quit. So we went through a long, long period trying to get a piano player. Now, let me tell you one on the preacher. We tried hiring people. We tried hiring one, and that it didn't work. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Then we tried to hire another one, and brother, that didn't work either. That's all I'm going to say about that. Then we tried to hire another one, and that didn't work either. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And then after all of that, I said, "Church, we need to be praying about a piano player." Now, that's the preacher for you. Try to do it yourself and then go to the Lord. And, you know, we prayed about it. a lady that had been going to that church ever since she was a little kid, Brianna Feltman. Love that little girl to death. She's grown up. She's married. And she stood up, and you got to know her. She is so bashful. She stood up and she said, "Brother Ed, I'm going to learn to play that piano because God has impressed upon my heart to do that." Now, I'm going to say this. The church paid for her piano lessons. We paid her to go learn how to play that piano. Now, for a long time, we sung Amazing Grace. We sung Amazing Grace a long time. But then right before Debbie and I left, I was sitting, I always sat on the front pew, and she was playing during the offertory or something. And I was just listening. She was playing all up and down that thing. And I happened to look up over there, Scott, and she was chewing away on a piece of chewing gum. I thought, if that'd be me, I'd be concentrating on that one thing. I'd be focused on that one thing. But she had gotten so good at it that she was just all over that keyboard and chewing gum at the same time. That was a bug there. But the thing about it is what we concentrate on a lot, that's how our patterns, that's how our habits are made. What we spend the most time on and what we continue to do on a regular basis, our patterns and our thought process and our habits are developed as we think about things and we make it the priority. Now, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, depending on what it is we're concentrating on and depending on what that habit turns out to be. But the Apostle Paul, he was setting a pattern on one thing and one thing only. So that's what we want to look at tonight as we look into Apostle Paul's writings right there. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we should also focus on one thing. And he tells us that right there in the last part of verse 13. He said, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before." The Apostle Paul is telling us that we as Christians, as we go forward for the Lord, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the message this morning about when we answer God's call on our lives, we've got to go forward with the Lord. We have got to do exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us right here in this scripture. We have got to forget about what's behind. He says, "This one thing I do, and it's very important, forget about those things that are in the past." We've got to let the past be in the past, and we've got to go on. And I'm going to say this, church, I can preach this message with confidence tonight, because I've been battling a situation for the last 2 or 3 years. And it's really helped me down. It's pulled me back. And I've really struggled with it sometimes. But I've got to claim the victory through Jesus Christ. But Paul's telling us that we've got to turn loose of the past if we're going to serve the Lord in the present and the future. Because we've got to turn loose of the past, because if we don't, it'll hold us hostage. We won't be able to go forward. We'll be held right there. As a matter of fact, we've got to go forward, because the Bible tells us that once we're saved, it says that old things are passed away and all things become new. So if all things are going to become new, we've got to turn loose of those old things. And we've got to go forward with the Lord. We got to leave it in the past. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 15, it says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had an opportunity to have returned." It's talking about when Abraham and Sarah, God asked Abraham or told Abraham to leave his father's land, the land of Ur, And he said to go out, and he was going to make a great nation out of him. But the thing of it is, I mean, Abraham did it. He followed his instruction, and he did it. But if Abraham had thought about it, he'd probably thought he had a better life back in his father's land. Because when he left there, he had to live in tents, and they traveled around. He wasn't settled down. He didn't have his father and his kin folks there. He didn't know where he was going because God didn't tell him that. So if he had thought about what he had left behind, the devil would have had a playground in his mind. Folks, that's where we really struggle, is in our minds. So if he'd have given that any thought, he'd have been ready to turn around and go right back. But thank God, he did exactly what God asked him to do. He went out, and God did. We have the rest of the story. God did make a great nation out of him, the nation of Israel, which is the bloodline came down, and that's where Jesus' bloodline came through Mary. So thank God that Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do, and he focused on one thing and one thing only. The Bible tells us also over in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was using some words there. When he said put his hand to the plow, that means if he's saved. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you look back, it's amazing how many different things that Jesus used and used an example of plowing. And I think it fits in really good out here on the mountain because we have so many people that are into farming. As a matter of fact, as we came down the road, I looked, and there's a truck sitting out there with a trailer behind it. It's got a tractor and a four-wheeler sitting on it. Now, God has blessed me with a little small farm over there. Debbie and I have got about 20 acres over there, and we got a few cows running around out there. And it's back in, I guess, 2001 or 2002, I went and bought my first tractor. I went and bought me a little 30-something horsepower Kubota. Now, I'd never done any farming like that, but I went out one day in the back field back there, and I was going to plow. So I put my plow down, and I'm going down through here, and I'm watching this plow as I'm going down through here. Don't ever do that, Scott. Because when I got to the other end and I looked back, I plowed the crookedest row you ever saw in your life. It, as Grandpa used to say, it looked like a snake crawled down through there. So you're not really efficient if you accept the Lord and you look back at your old life. You're not very effective. That is exactly what he is trying to tell us in that verse right there. It's all about the past. Don't be looking back to the past. I learned plowing. When I put that plow down, I pick me out something out there in the front of me, and I focus on that, and I put that little emblem on the front of my tractor right towards that thing, and I focus on that till I get to the other end of the field. You're a whole lot more effective that way. And as Christians, that's what we got to do, is we got to focus on one thing. We've got to put blinders on, and we have got to get tunnel vision, and we have got to focus on Jesus and what he has got for us to do. We got to focus, and we've got to forget about the past. As a matter of fact, I was having a pretty good discussion with my daughter on the way to church tonight. She was texting me, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, Melissa, who is married to Kevin, that girl is single-minded and focused on Jesus. We were having a conversation. Something was said at her church this morning, and it kind of upset her, and she was focused on Jesus, and she was telling me and her mom there at the house before we came to church, it's all about Jesus. Nothing else matters. It's about Jesus. And then as she was texting me as I was coming to church, she was talking about it being about the truth, and that God's truth is the truth, and then there's everything else. I said, I can't argue with that. God's word is the truth. And God is telling us in his word, which is the truth, to be single-minded, to focus on him and what he has called us to do, and never, ever look back. Because when we look back, the devil is going to jump on that immediately. This book is the truth. You know, we as Christians need to hold to this book even tighter and tighter as times go by, because now we've even got churches and certain religions telling us that this truth may not be the whole truth. This is, you know, we're killing babies, and now they're wanting to start killing babies in the late term. And I've heard some of those conversations, and I try to keep up with those kind of things. And I've heard them even ask the question, well, what's late term? Is that even as that child is being born, if that mother decides? And the answer was yes, it's the mother's choice. It's not a choice. God says that's murder. So we're distorting the truth. We've got folks talking about the LGBTQ community, how that we need to be getting on board. Well, I can't get on board. I mean, God says it's an abomination, and I can't get on board. So even some religious people in our nation are trying to change the truth. And so we definitely need to be focused. We need to be single-minded, and we need to stand firm when it's not popular. And when we answer God's call and we're doing what God would have us to do, we need to do exactly what Paul said in verse 14. We need to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We got to stay focused. We can't let the past hold us back. We got to continue to go forward for the Lord. It's time to stop letting the devil put the doubt in our minds. It's the doubt that holds us back. It's the doubt that causes us not to do the things that God has got for us. It's the doubt that stops us from telling people about Jesus Christ. It's the doubt that stops us from doing anything for the Lord. We need to start claiming the promises of God. We need to start standing on the truth of this book. We need to get the sin of doubt out of our lives and continue to go forward. It's time to put the sin away that the Bible tells us that so easily besets us. And we need to continue to go forward with the things of the Lord. It's time to give it to God. And you know, when God says when he forgives us of a sin, he'll never bring it up against us again. Never. He says he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. He'll cast it into his sea of forgetfulness, and he'll never bring it up against us again. So when we think about those sins that we did in the past that we have asked God's forgiveness of, and it gets brought up in our mind, if the Bible tells us that God never brings it up, where does it come from? It comes from the devil. The devil himself puts that doubt in our minds. So we need to be aware of that. When it happens, we need to see that, and we need to quickly repent of the doubt, because it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. Paul tells us that it's high time to forget our past and press toward the mark. We need to all be pressing toward the mark, going what God and doing what God would have us to do. The call that God has put on our lives as Christians to go out and spread the gospel. Again, I think about the guy that's down there holding up the sign, "Trust in Jesus," on the sidewalk. I'm sure he gets plenty of naysayers. I'd say if you would stop, and I've started two or three times. I shared that with somebody this morning. I think I shared that with your son this morning. We were out in the parking lot. He said he used to work for Academy Sports, and he knew that guy. Kyle's who I was talking to. And he said he's a really nice guy. And I said, yeah, but... And he said he was talking about how people come by and blow their horns and wave at him. And I said, yeah, but I said, I bet if he would really tell the truth, he's also got a lot of naysayers that go by there, and Lord only knows some of the things he's heard while he's standing there, but he never lets that slow him down. He knows what God has called him to do, and he's out there doing what God has called him to do, and he probably knows that God hears every single word of that from that naysayer and the ones that wants to put doubt in your mind, and they'll have to answer for that. He won't, but they will. And it's the same way with what God has put on you, your calling. It's the same way when the naysayers are there or when the doubters are there and they say, you can't do this, you can't do it this way, or you can't do that way. Don't let that discourage you. You keep going forward for the Lord because God heard every single word they said, but he also knows your hearts because he looks at our hearts and he knows exactly the intent of your heart. You know, the Apostle Paul here is the same one we were talking about this morning that was called Saul, the one that was persecuting the church. He went around and he may not have killed any Christians, but he was sure encouraging them. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death, and he was agging them on. He was holding their coats while they were stoning Stephen. He was persecuting the church. He was wanting to see all Christians be put to death. Then he turned out to be one of the greatest preachers there ever was. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Do you think the devil was never on him trying to convince him? You can't do that. You can't write that. Look what you used to do to those people. The devil could have had a playground in his life except for this one thing. Except for this one thing that he said he did. He said he forgot those things from the past. And he pressed forward to the high calling of God through Jesus Christ. It's exactly what God would have us to do. In my Bible, I've got some little stars put by these verses that's in Philippians, because the one that was called Saul is now called Paul, and he's the one that penned these words. He not only says there in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I've got some more stars. In chapter 4 and verse 7, for instance, he said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He said, you know, you can have the peace of God. I don't understand how, but God can give you a peace that passes all human understanding through Jesus Christ. Also down in chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There is a lesson for us 21st century Americans. The Apostle Paul said he's learned that whatever state he's in, to be content, because Jesus Christ is all he needs. No matter what's going on, matter of fact, look at what he says in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, he knows how to be with nothing. He knows how to have all kinds of wealth. He says, and I know everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He says he knows what it means to have all you need to eat. And he knows what it means to go to bed hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Here's a verse that probably just about every single Christian knows. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, folks, I think there's a lot of people that really misinterprets that verse. I can do all things. Scott, don't climb up on a 10-story building and think you're going to jump off of it and fly. Don't let him do that. Denise, you know you're responsible for him. Don't let him do that. Don't think you're going to go out and do something crazy because, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you read that in context, what Paul just told us, he said he's learned that anything he needs, Christ is going to furnish it for him. Whatever condition he's in, he's going to be content because he knows that Jesus Christ is going to furnish it for him. Whatever God lays out in front of him, whatever calling God gives him to do, that he can do it through Jesus Christ. Anything that Jesus Christ asks him to do, he can do it. Because he says he can do all things through Christ, which gives him the strength to do it. One other verse that I've got a star beside is verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, sometimes I think we have the mindset that we're looking at things from a physical point of view, but this book is written on a spiritual point of view. So when he says he can do all things through Christ, anything he needs to do to spread the gospel, to continue on spreading the word about Jesus Christ, any calling that comes on his life, he can do it through Jesus Christ because he says, this one thing I'll do, forget the past and go forward for the Lord. I hope that that's what all of us in this room is doing, is going forward for the Lord. Now, if you're like me, you're probably going kicking and screaming all the way. Still, every once in a while, that past is dragging me back to the past. Folks, we have to learn to just give it to God. To start with, not like I did with a piano player and do it last. We need to do it first. Soon as we find ourselves caught up in being pulled to the past, we just need to get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me for that thought. Scott, would y'all come tonight? Give a song of invitation. Folks, I never, ever want to close a service without giving an invitation because I never know what's on your heart. I never know what kind of burden you're carrying. I never know that if you want to come pray for someone or you need to pray for yourself. Maybe somebody here tonight battling with the same thing. Maybe you're bogged down with the past. Maybe you just need to come and give it to the Lord tonight. Whatever need is represented in this church, I'd ask you just to come and pray. Just come and pray. If you stand to your feet tonight. 183. If you need to.